Good morning, everyone. Hello, welcome to Eagle Mountain International Church. I'm Greg Stevens, and I am in for Pastor Terry Copeland Pearson today. And boy, I am excited. Do you love this time of year?
Yes.
I'm telling you, this time of year, I get so excited about it.
Well, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. I know that.
But the world recognizes this day as the day he came into the earth. So significant things have happened as a result of it. And because you're associated, because the day is associated with him, significant things in history have happened on this day. Because you're associated with him, significant things happen in your life. And I just heard a testimony, and I didn't get to hear the whole thing, of a lady who had a significant thing happen. $21,000 canceled. Glory to God. That's good news. And it can happen to you. It is happening to you. Amen. Testimony, I went in. I don't know why. I usually don't go to these places, contrary to popular belief. But there's a brand new donut store. Why are they laughing? I thought I'm going to run in there real quick. And, you know, they get these little munchkin things or whatever. And the lady says, "What do you want?" And I said, "Well, I don't know." She goes, "No, seriously, what do you want?" And some donuts, I'll take some into the TV crew and stuff. And she loaded me with some boxes of donuts and said, "Take them." The manager of the place. That happens to me all the time, right? No, I'm telling you, blessing, 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 blessing. And I haven't had a single one of them, right? All right, John chapter 10. Here we go. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We give you glory and praise and honor. Wash us in your word today, sir, that we'll never be the same. We dedicate ourselves to hearing your word, being receptive, being open, glowing from glory to glory. Give you all praise and all glory and all honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. Amen and amen. All right, John chapter 10, you there? Everything Jesus did, you have to understand this, was not by accident nor by coincidence. I mean, everything he did. That's why the Bible records certain little details about things. He is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He's the fulfillment of the law. He even said so. I didn't come to condemn, but to fulfill. And everything in there points to him. He revealed himself in everyday life at all times. At weddings, he reveals himself. They brought water in pots by him. Remember that? And it blushed, turned into wine. You'll catch that later. That was funny. At funerals, Jesus messed up every funeral he ever attended. Yes. Folk just couldn't stay dead around him. I'm just telling you. And when he comes to call on us, we're just going to come up out of here and resurrect. Amen. He's life, all right? He celebrated the seven feasts of the Lord. There were seven of them. You remember those? I went over that with you over a year ago. There's four, three plus one in the spring and three in the fall. And they are called the Feast of the Lord. He celebrated them. They're not Jewish feasts. They're the Feast of the Lord. And then you get to John 10, 22, and it says this. It's okay. We'll keep going. It says this in John 10, 22. Now, it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked into the temple. You got to pay attention to every single word here. He walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. That's key. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Now, we think of that. Some people think Christ is his last name. Mary and Joseph Christ gave birth to a son named Jesus, and it's not his last name. Matter of fact, let me just pause right here. Brother Copeland can explain it far better than I can. Let me play you clip one right now. Watch this.
The Greek word Christ is a Greek translation, the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah. The Hebrew word Messiah,
it's good,
both of them translated into English, mean exactly the same thing. They both mean anoint, anointed. Now, particularly in the Greek text, to anoint means to pour. It means to smear. It means to rub into. But now, in this case, we're talking about to be anointed of God. God poured on, God smeared in, God rubbed on. Mm-hmm. I'm just using this figuratively,
so you get the
importance of the word. The word itself, just in itself, doesn't mean all that much. But when it's God, it means everything.
Yes, amen.
Now then, we are celebrating the anointed one. Yes. But now that doesn't say it either. We are celebrating His anointing.
Okay, so that name, Jesus Christ, is the same as Messiah. Tell us, are you the Messiah? No more of this parables. Tell us plainly. Now, it's very important. Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it's winter. Okay, I told you just a second ago, the seven feasts of Israel, none of them are in the winter. Right. There's four in the spring, four in the spring, three in the fall. None in the winter. But your Bible says right here, Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. He walks into the temple, Solomon's porch, and they surround him. Tell us right now, plainly, are you the Messiah? Are you the seed of David that we've been looking for? So what is this feast? Every part of that verse is important, and it's a clue to what's happening. It's a feast that's never mentioned in the Old Testament. It's only mentioned in the New Testament, and it's right here. Because Jesus is celebrating it. He celebrated it his entire life. You want to know what it is? It's Hanukkah. Hanukkah is not a replacement for Christmas. It predates Christmas. Hello. All right? It predates it. It's not a replacement. Let me enlighten you. Can I give you a little bit of history? Because this will build your faith, because it points to Jesus. Let me show you something. It's also referred to as the Festival of Dedication or the Festival of Lights. It's a holiday commemorating an event that occurred in what we theologically talk about as the intertestamental period. There's a period of time between Malachi and Matthew of about 400 years, and it predates, it's in that period. So let me tell you what happens. A Syrian king named Antiochus IV, and he names himself Antiochus Epiphanes. Epiphanes means that I am God in the flesh. Okay, and he invades the Jewish nation, and he demands that the people abandon the God of Israel and their covenant and his ways. And that meant that he was going to impose Greek culture and customs on them, including idolatry. And it meant that he forbid the practice of the Jewish religion. He outlawed circumcision even, because there can be no covenant sign that you're Jewish. Okay. He's breaking down the covenant from the governmental side. Oh, Jesus, what'd I just say? He's breaking down your covenant and your promise from the governmental side of things. For him who has ears to hear. Now, this is a contradiction to the covenant, because the covenant states, the contract states, the promise states that the seed of David would sit on the throne. But this had already been spoken to a guy named Daniel. The Bible never says anything bad about Daniel. The covenant is spoken to Daniel. He's told this guy's going to sit on the throne. Here's what's going to happen. And Daniel will prophesy about this in Daniel chapter 8. And this alludes to something that's going to happen again in our future in Revelation chapter 13. Okay? So he takes this name Epiphanes, which means God's manifested, and demanded that he is worshiped. All right? He places a statue of Zeus in the temple and commands people to worship it. Then he does the unthinkable. Let me tell you what he does. He takes a pig, a sow, and he sacrifices the sow on the holy altar of God. Well, now, what do you think that did? Well, it started an uprising, a revolt. But more than that, it defiled the temple to where the temple cannot be used. That altar cannot be used again, ever. So he basically shut down worship in Israel. Isn't that interesting? So the king now decides to send out his army to enforce his new rules. And he sends them to a village called Modin. If you've ever flown into Tel Aviv, you ever been to Tel Aviv? The Ben-Gurion Airport, there it is. It sets on top of what was once Modin. Okay? And there's a guy and his family, and they begin to fight back. His name is Judah Maccabee, means the hammer. And he convinces other Jewish people, it's okay for us to fight on the Sabbath. This is allowed. We're fighting for our country. We're fighting for the covenant. And they begin to fight back. And eventually they're going to win. Okay? So now what do? There's no temple to worship in. And so they begin to cleanse the temple so that they can worship in it again. And they remove the stones that were defiled of the altar. They need to burn the menorah for 8 days, according to Leviticus, to cleanse the temple. All purification take eight days. Problem, they have one jar of oil for the temple menorah, enough to last 1 day. All right? But the process takes 8 days. So the miracle of Hanukkah is they poured the oil in there and that oil did not run out for 8 days. That's Hanukkah. Okay? Now, let me put it in modern terms so you can understand it. Your cell phone has 10% battery and it lasts you for 8 days. Now, did that make it more, you understand how that works now? Okay. Your cell phone never ran out. It just stayed at 10% the entire time for 8 days and you kept going. So that's the miracle. It gives them more time to make more. Now, they didn't know what to do. Here we go. That's cool, right? But we're going to get into the neat stuff. Tradition tells us that they celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot, during those 8 days because they didn't get to do it previously. Now, that's interesting. 8 days, spontaneously, they celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles out of its time, and the entire temple area is lit up, and they wave palm branches, looking forward to a time when the Messiah will rule from the temple, from the throne of David again. So they're purifying the temple, getting it ready for the Messiah to come. Now, this is 167 BC, plus or minus. So it's a few hundred years right before Jesus comes. Now I got Jesus standing over in the temple in John chapter 10 at Solomon's porch, and they ask him, tell us plainly, are you the one? Why would they do that? Because here's what happened. 100+ years later, Jesus is going to ride into Jerusalem during the spring Passover festivals, and they're going to break off palm branches and spontaneously do Feast of Tabernacles. Remember that? Excuse me. And what's going to happen? The high priest and all the priests are going to say, stop, make them stop. And he says, if I make them stop, the stones are going to cry out. Remember that? The rocks will cry out. Well, they had just passed a couple of Old Testament minor prophets' tombs. They're going to cry out because they're talking about me. So during that first Hanukkah, tradition teaches us that they did Feast of Tabernacles spontaneously. And here we have Jesus coming into the city and the same thing happens again. It's a clue. It's a clue, isn't it? And they're saying, Lord, save us, Hoshianu. And they want him to make the people stop because you can't do this. And they want him to set up his kingdom. Now, back to the rocks. Remember the altar rocks? Okay, back then they knew that these were part of the temple. We can't just throw these away somewhere because here's why. If we throw these out and somebody doesn't know that these are defiled, somebody will build their house and have a defiled house. So what do we do it? So the sages teach, Jewish history teaches, They piled the stones of the altar up next to Solomon's porch. And they were there even in the time of Jesus. They're there till 70 AD when the Romans, every stone was torn down, right? So the story of this is the sages would always say, when the Messiah comes, he'll tell us what to do with these stones. So this is why he's standing at Solomon's porch and they say, tell us plainly, are you the Messiah? Because he's going to tell them what to do with these. Now, Jesus will talk about the stone that the builder rejected. Jesus will talk about being the chief cornerstone. Come on, guys. All of these messages, all of these actions are lining up with one another. All right? And so he says this, John chapter 10, they ask him, tell us, are you the Messiah? And he responded back with this. He responded back. We're going to pick it up with verse 25, right after Brother Copeland in clip number 3. Watch this.
Now, this yoke-destroying, burden-removing, yoke-destroying power. Now, 11th chapter. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, Jesse being David's father, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of the Lord shall come upon him. We know it happened in the Jordan River when he was baptized by John. The Spirit of the Lord came on him. He was poured on him, or anointed, right? Okay. The Spirit, now notice this, the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord.
That good? Now, so what he's talking about is the anointing. Anytime they would ask Jesus about this, he would go back to his anointing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. Right? Now, let me show you something here in John chapter 10, verse 25. Jesus answers them because they ask, tell us plainly. I told you, you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. That's something. But you do not believe because you're not my sheep. As it is said of me, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Somebody ought to get that in their spirit and let it just hang on and just hang on to it. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Hallelujah. Either Jesus is telling the truth to you today or he's not. My Father who's given them to me is greater than all, and no one's able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Verse 30. I and my Father are one. Listen to that. Listen to that. Isn't that beautiful? Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works I've shown you from my Father. For which one of these works do you stone me? What have I done that deserves this? And the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you being a man make yourself God. Why did he point them to works and not to faith and grace, guys? Why did he do that? Why did he point them to that? He pointed his disciples to faith. Sure he did. His disciples, they were sheep. They heard his voice. They believed and they heard. And so he pointed them to faith because they're operating under the children of Abraham. That's how you operate. But he didn't do that with these guys. Because how does faith come? By hearing. By hearing the words. If you read the Greek, it says by hearing the words of Christos. By hearing the words of Jesus is how faith comes. Guys, there's a principle for us today in this story that if you'll have faith, if you'll have ears to hear, it'll change and transform your life. These people lived their entire lives under the law, and it required no faith, only strict obedience and compliance. What I do proves I'm righteous than what I believe. And so that's why he tells them what he does, because they asked. See it? His disciples, he goes to faith with them because we operate by faith. Your faith is what will cause the good works. Okay, guys, come on now. So now, this is the festival of light and dedication when the oil and the spirit of God did not run dry. Let me show you Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at a couple of other times in the words of Jesus. We're going to go Matthew 5 and then Luke chapter 2. Is that all right? Yes. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. Now, are you the salt of the earth?
Yes.
Then don't put everybody on a low sodium diet. Reason I say that is my daughter works in retail and she dreads Sundays. And I go, why do you dread Sundays, baby? She goes, because all the church people come in and they're mean after church. I go, well, that's because they don't go to EMIC. And they're grumpy because they didn't hear a good sermon. I mean, you know what I mean? So if you're the salt of the earth, don't put everybody on a low sodium diet by your attitude. Let me just move on. If the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Now listen to this. Here it is. You are the light of the world. Festival of Lights, dedication. You're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Out of your faith, your light shines, and they see the works then. See it? About to get happy. And glorify your Father in heaven. The salt, guys, is the inner working of you. If you put salt, I got a raw steak sitting out there. I put salt on that steak, I can't get it out. Because the minute I put it on there, it starts doing what it does. It goes in. That salt part of us, the salt and the light, the salt part of us is the inner part of us, the preserving part of us, where nobody can snatch you out of my hand. Come on now. The light part of you is what repels darkness and shines light to everybody else so they can see the salt part of you. In John chapter 8, during the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus is going to stand up with boldness and proclaim, I am the light of the world. Wow. God said, light be, and he was. My God. Think about that now. He says, I am. Did you catch it? I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Who did he say to Moses? Tell him, I am sent you. I am the light of the world. I am his love. I am his light. He said, light be, and Jesus showed up. My God, Jesus. Glory to God. It's why we light things up at Christmas time. Luke chapter 2. Let me show you Luke chapter 2. My Lord, I'm about to get happy in here. Something getting in my shoes besides my feet. Luke chapter 2. Let me tie some things together for you here. Hanukkah lasts for 8 days, right?
Yes.
Verse 21. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Verse 22. Look at this. Now, when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, 8 days, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Remember when Jesus is baptized, dove lands. Remember that? Now here we have 8 days. Guys, it all ties together. There's reasons for all of this stuff. Now, that is the time frame for her, Mary's purification. Hanukkah, for 8 days, the oil burned to purify. If you do the math of Jesus and his birth and understand that you understand when Jesus was born based upon John's birth, because the courses of priests didn't pastor one church the whole time. They would work in the temple for 1 week, and they rotated. We know how many courses there were. In 70 AD, when the temple was destroyed, we knew who was on duty according to history. So you can do the math knowing what John's done, because it says in the Bible that his father, Zechariah, is of the course of, and so you know what course they're on, right? So you can get John's birth pretty accurate, because Mary goes and the child leaps within him. Jesus is full term pregnancy. We know that because when the fullness of time had come, she bore him, right? So you do the math of a normal human pregnancy and you can come up with when he was born. And you can come up, so not December, don't want to burst your bubble here, probably September, okay? There's other things that point to that, but probably September. Now listen to this. He would have been conceived by the Holy Spirit, the Feast of Dedication, during Hanukkah. He would have been conceived. The light of the world came into her womb during the Festival of Lights. Oh, wow. Glory to God. Now, it's also the Feast of Dedication. Now, think about this little Jewish girl who said, she dedicates herself to God. Be it unto me according to your word. I'm telling you how to let your light shine right now during this holiday season is by dedicating yourself right now to be it unto me according to your word, and then that light will shine out of you. My God. Now look at this, what happens here. In verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was a just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. This man's in the temple praying. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Okay? So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. My God, I'd love to have seen that. I want to talk to him in heaven about what that was like that day when he came in there and saw this kid and he starts prophesying. Which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. Now look what he says in verse 32. A light. I am the light. Oh, glory to God. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. Somebody ought to just praise God for that for just a second. Glory to God. And glory of your people Israel. This man gets it. It's for both of us. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Well, of course you would. My goodness. We're just coming here for circumcision. This man starts prophesying. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child, listen to what he prophesies to her. Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Now, he talks about a sign. What is it they're always asking Jesus for? Give us a sign. Okay? Verse 36. Now, there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 70 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years and did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and with prayers day and night. Here's a lady in the temple at the same time. She's going to proclaim the gospel just like he did. Just saying. Leaving that out there. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Herod is sitting on the throne. This is a contradiction to the covenant. The covenant stated that the throne of David, there'd be somebody from David's lineage always sitting on the throne. But now you got Herod on there. He's not of David. So it seems like a contradiction to the promise. Listen, there may seem to be some things that are contrary to what been promised of you, but you need to hang on to the covenant. You need to hang on to what the promise is, because you don't see what all's going on the other side. You don't see all the angels working on this thing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, here's the thing. His name, Simeon, means hear or to hear, hearing. Anna's name means grace. It means hear grace with the two of them. Now, you get with the boys with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, and you have Jesus, well, Peter, James, and John. You have Jesus, Elijah, and Moses. Is that right? All standing there. And Peter says, man, this is really cool. We should build a tabernacle for all three of you. And that while he's saying it, God interrupts him. Didn't he? You never want that to happen. But he interrupted him. And he said, this is my beloved son. Second time he said this. This is my beloved son. Hear him. Listen to him. Now we got Simeon and Anna saying, hear grace. John described Jesus as grace and truth. Who else did you have up there? You had the law and you had Moses. You had the law of Moses, and you had the prophets. You had the law, the prophets, and grace and truth. Now, grace and truth is this. We know what grace is. We know that that's God desiring to record that nothing ever happened against us, right? His overwhelming desire to treat you like nothing ever happened. Truth, what's truth? Jesus is truth. Let me tell you what truth is. The truth is the word. The truth is our covenant of faith. So I could easily substitute faith and truth. Because that's the truth of our dispensation, that the just shall live by faith. So I got Simeon and Anna saying, listen to this. I've got the Father interrupting Peter and saying, listen to this. Come on now. Let me show you another one. Go to John chapter 8. Here's another fact about Hanukkah that might make some of you shout. Traditionally, women are granted a reprieve from any housework after the lights are lit. The holiday is sacred for women. As a matter of fact, Rabbi Joshua ben Levi said women are obligated to light the menorah, for they took part in the miracle, knowing that light will come from woman. That goes all the way back to Genesis 3. Guys, this whole celebration is tied to us. They proclaim and proclaiming the miracle. Well, here you got Anna proclaiming the miracle, don't you? On the eighth day. So let me just tell you. Now, instead of seven branches of the menorah, the Hanukkah has nine branches. There's only 8 days. Why is the ninth one? The ninth one is the one light that lights all the other ones. It's called the servant light. So a servant light will come and light the other ones. Now, here's the thing about that. Each day it gets brighter. So you get lit, and then you get lit, and then you get lit, and then you get lit. And every day it gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. Let your light so shine that men will see your good works. Now, look at this. Look at this in John chapter 8. It's one of my favorite teachings of Jesus. He's in the temple, and they bring a woman caught in the act of adultery before him. And at the end of the ordeal, remember the whole thing where he draws a line or sand or whatever, he draws something, writes something, who knows what he wrote? We don't know what he did. He did something, and they dropped the rocks and took off, right? I don't know what he wrote. I know this, we kind of have this picture that he drew in the dirt. But if you've ever been up there, there's no dirt. It's stones. Never mind. Let me just go on. I think maybe he wrote on stone once before. That'd freak you out a little bit, wouldn't it? Okay, at the end of the ordeal, he asked, woman, where are your accusers? And she says, I have none. And then he said this, because the conditions, you got to pay attention to the conditions. The conditions were, the one without sin among you cast the first stone, the first one. So the one without any sin can throw the first one. Everybody else will throw him. She'll die. It'll be justified under the law, right? So was there anyone there that could have thrown the first one? Jesus could have. And this is why he said, woman, neither do I. I had the right to do this. I chose not to do this. Gentlemen, let me help you with something. Your greatest strength as a man is your ability to choose to be gentle. Especially when you're right. Okay. Neither do I. And then he says a statement to her that troubled me for the longest time. He says, go and sin no more. Now that's impossible. Why would he say that to her? Look at verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again and said, right after this incident, look what he says. I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. In other words, he's telling her, here's how you're going to go and sin no more. You're going to follow the light. You're in the light. You're going to be in the light. You're going to walk in the light. You're going to stay in the light, and your light's going to shine. You won't have to worry about sin anymore because you're in me. Nobody will be able to snatch you from my hand. My God, I'm about to get happy. Woo! Glory to God! That's how she's not going to walk in darkness, by Jesus. Now, the religious guys are going to take him on a rabbit trail. They always do that. Religious guys always will do that. Verse 13, the Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you do not know where you come from and where I'm going. Now, how many of you in this room know where you're going? If you've had a loved one that went home in the Lord, they're already there. They're not lost. Quit saying, well, I lost my husband. You didn't lose him. You know right where he's at. He's in your future. Well, I lost her. No, you didn't. You know right where she's at. Glory to God. Hey, he's messing with us today. Now, look, where'd I stop? Verse 15, you judge according to the flesh. I judge no one, because he didn't judge that lady just then, did he? Yet if I do judge, my judgment is true. There's coming a judgment, that's true. Remember when he said the scroll had been given to him, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he's anointed me. He stopped before judgment, closed the book, didn't finish the verse. For I am not alone, but I am the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law, and a testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you'd known me, you would have known my Father also. See the rabbit trail they're taking him on? These words Jesus spoke in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Then Jesus said to them again, I'm going away. You will seek me and will die. Now listen to what he says to them. He didn't say this to her. You will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? And he said to them, you're from beneath. I'm from above. You're one of this world, I'm not of this world. They think like the world, see? Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am. Now, the he is italicized in most translations. You will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am. There it is. If you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. That's the whole thing. If you're a believer, I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a disciple. I have confessed him. I will not die in my sins.
I know, religious people, that's so hard for you. I get that. I love you. You will die in your sins. Then they said to him, well, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak the world these things, and they departed from me, right? They didn't understand that he's speaking about the Father. Now look what Jesus says. Then he said to them, will you lift up the Son of Man? You will know that I am. He's talking about his crucifixion here. I do nothing of myself, but my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him. And he spoke these words, and many believed in him. I love it. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. I love that. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage to anybody. He's like, dude, you're in bondage now. Just don't know it. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus said to them, listen to what he says. Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. I've become a son of God. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. And then they say it again, Abraham's our father. Jesus said to them, if you're Abraham's children, you would do the, look what he says, you would do the works of Abraham. Now, what are the works of Abraham? Being justified by faith. That's the works of Abraham. Oh, man. And there's something attached to the works of Abraham. It's called the blessing. You want to walk in the blessing, do the works of Abraham. Abraham was justified how? By belief, by faith. Guys, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. He's talking about his crucifixion here. Cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Guys, you and I have been grafted into this thing. Hallelujah. Hanukkah, I just showed it to you. It's New Testament. Isn't that beautiful? Yes. It's not a replacement. It's the light of the world. And he has now moved residence. See, here's the deal. This all happened at the temple. And the temple had to be purified and cleansed. Well, when Jesus gave his life and sacrificed, because he's pointing to his death, burial, and resurrection. When he did that, he made it possible by his blood for you to become a son or a daughter. So now you've become the temple. So now, because you've become the temple, I am the light is in you. Starting to see it? This is why he said, let your light shine. You got to get an understanding and a revelation of this thing that I'm that menorah now. And at this feast of dedication, I dedicate myself to letting my light shine so that everybody can see. Let them have that parking place. Well, I got there first. I get it. Let them have it. Watch, you'll get a better one. Amen. Use your faith for your parking place at the shopping mall right now. I mean, when we set out, I start out, thank you, Father, for my parking place. Now, there's been a time or two. No, seriously. I've sown that parking place. Thank Lord, I thank you that I got this parking place. But you know, I'm looking at that little dude right there, and he needs this more than I do. Go ahead, buddy. And they look at you crazy. No, go ahead, take that place. You really want them to look at you crazy? You've got a buggy full of stuff, and they've got just a few things, and you tell them, oh, go on in front of me. Check out in front of me. Go ahead and check out. Are you sure? Yeah, sure. I got nowhere to be except about my Father's business. I mean, learn to be directed by him in everything you do. He might just tell you, hey, I want you to pay for that thing that they have there. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. I want you to do this. Hey, let that person go first. See what I'm saying? What are you doing? You're lighting the place up. I have a friend who's not... We're not the same spiritual, but we've been friends for a long time. He said, man, I tell you what, I can't wait to be off at Christmas time because I'm going to get lit. And I said, me too. I said, matter of fact, I'm already lit. Now, we're not talking about the same thing, he and I. But I've made a purpose. Come on now. I've made a purpose of being a shining bright everywhere I go, doing my best to just shine bright, just shine as bright as I can. Why are you so happy? Well, it doesn't because it doesn't come from out here. Don't you know what they're saying about the president? Don't you know that all of this is contrary to our covenant as a nation? Of course I know it's all contrary to our covenant as a nation. That's how I know that God's at work.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
Because if he kept that thing burning for 8 days, I know he's working right now. You understand that the angels, you know, during all this time, the angels are there, but they're on assignment. They're not residents in the earth. It's not till the day of Pentecost, till after his death, burial, and resurrection, and he sends you the Holy Spirit to indwell in your temple, that all the angelic forces, that was the sound of the rushing mighty wind, by the way. All those angels came into the earth. They're here now.
Hallelujah.
They have legal right and standing to be here to work on your behalf. Are they not all ministering spirits for the heirs of salvation? Listen to this. When I go Christmas shopping, I know I got angels out there with me, going before me, drawing up behind me. What verse did I stop on? I don't know how y'all are sitting there. If this wasn't a Baptist church, we'd all been running. It's a joke. We're not a Baptist church. It's a joke. Where'd I leave off? 39. Abraham is our father. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. That's it. But now you seek to kill me, a man who's told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Listen to this. Then they said to him, oh, this is a shot. This was a shot at Jesus. Oh, they're going to take a shot at you. Get ready. When your light starts shining, they're going to take a shot at you. Don't get upset about that. Then they said to him, we're not born of fornication. Now they're referring to his mama and him. They just did a yo mama on him. We have one Father, God. Jesus said to them, he didn't get upset about it, did he? Now, you understand he dealt with that everywhere he went? Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. Woo! For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself. He sent me. Now, listen, if you're in Christ, he's in you. Then you need to have every day. I want you to dedicate yourself right now to this. This is a feast of dedication. I want you to dedicate yourself right now that every single day is a day of purpose in my life, that I have an assignment today and I'm going to walk in my assignment today. He has already, people have prayed somewhere, maybe somebody in the Northeast has prayed for somebody that's a relative of theirs that lives in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and they prayed for laborers to be sent across their path, and I'm going out today, so Father, I am available to you to be that person to come across their path. I have an assignment today, and you have a purpose for me today. I dedicate myself to let this light shine in me today, to walk in faith, because I have an assignment. You have sent Jesus. I am part of the body. And so when you sent me, when I'm going out today, you're sending me out. The Father sent me today. That'll change your day. If you see every day as the Father has sent me today. My God. He said, he's saying this really, what he's saying. If you were really of Abraham, the fruit of Abraham would be there. That's faith. That's operating by faith. It was accounted unto Abraham as righteousness. You are not accounted as righteousness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are righteous. Not based on you, based on him. So now I've got to let that light shine out of me today, everywhere I go. It's going to be a different day today at the restaurant after church, because you're going to go out and shine. You're going to be shiny, sparkly. My family makes fun of me that I like shiny, sparkly things. They always get all my Christmas paper is shiny paper. I like shiny paper because I want to shine. I want to sparkle. So I want you to dedicate yourself today to be the light of the world, to be the light of Jesus, to be the I am coming in the place on assignment. My God, it'll change everything. That's when people are going to start recognizing you. There's something different about you. Hey, would you pray for me? The other day I was walking through the shopping deal. I saw this lady who's obviously struggling with cancer. And I was moved with compassion. And I said, Lord, should I pray for her? He goes, don't go to her. Pray right now. Yes, sir. I can do that. So, Father, I agree. Right now, in Jesus' name, I curse the cancer. See what I'm doing? Now, I don't know why he said don't go lay hands on her. I was ready to go. But he said don't. So I didn't. But I prayed, and I got in the same aisle with her. I kind of stalked her for a little while. Praying. She didn't know I was praying, but I was praying. That was my assignment in that store that day. Listen, I did something with the students at Kenneth Copeland Bible College. I had them think about students that are no longer in class with them and call them by name. Sometimes you don't have to pray, Lord, grab them by the hair and shake them till they come into the kingdom. No, don't do that. Just call them by name. Call upon the name of all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me just tell you something. It's going to be very, very difficult for your family and your loved ones to not go to heaven. If you'll call them by name and just get in a spirit of prayer, go inward, get in the Holy Ghost, my God, and call them by name and call people that have touched your life by name. Just put their name before him as a remembrance. Guys, I'm telling you, we're going to rededicate ourselves in this season to let the faith of Abraham and the light of Jesus flow through us. You with me?
Amen.
Amen and amen. Okay, here we go. We're going to take a break. Kicking it to Michelle right now. Here we go.
Thank you, Pastor Greg.